Beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Oh, yes. Yes, and merry, merry, happy holiday season it is. We're having a Christmas Eve show today, and of course, it's going to be a lot of fun because we're ready to share gifts with you. And you know that each week I have a prayer that guides me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously, experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes. That's what we're up to at Advanced Living, and I know that that's in some way a reflection of what many of us desire, this better world. Well, yippee, step by step, week by week, we keep bringing you things that are going to help move that ahead. And before we get into the show today, I want to take a quick moment to thank our sponsor, AdvancedLivingComfort.com, the home of the comfort technology. It's a plug-in item. We call it a Clark Kent clock with superpowers because when you look at it, it's a stylish little plug-in digital clock. But when you plug it in, it's like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. It brings a pure, sweet, harmonized love energy that mitigates the stress from electro pollution and actually raises the healing field of energy. So check it out. I know it'll be a blessing to your life. AdvancedLivingComfort.com, and some special holiday savings, too, for you. All right, now, getting ready. I mean, we got a new year upon us. We got Christmas tomorrow. Oh, boy, we have got just something magical and marvelous. You know that there's these times where we're wanting to make our lives work better, and we just don't know. To make our lives work, we've got to bring an income. It's a business. It's a job, whatever it is. And you may have asked yourself, how far can I make my business go? Or how much can I make in this my career? What are my true strengths? What should I really be doing in my career? And sometimes we're going, why do I feel so stuck? And, of course, what's my next step? Well, today's the day. Oh, you're so lucky. We have Monique Guild, yes, and is that a fun name? If you think Monique Wild, but you say G-U-I-L-D, it's Monique Guild. And is this a treat? Because we have this wonderful gal who has an amazing career. Right now, her strength is as a business intuitive who can change your business, your career future through her intuitive guidance and remote viewing and being able to forecast these tendencies for the future. She has the ability to unlock the mysteries of a business, a career life, and of course when that comes to what happens then when you got it going in the right direction, you prosper. Woo, yes. Now, a bit more about her. In her no-nonsense, you love this, the cut-to-the-chase style, Monique is able to see where a business or career is blocked and is able to provide insights that pinpoint the blocks and that prevent people from living up to their highest potential. And she teaches people and businesses to set goals, work through their blocks, tune in, and trust their intuition, thereby helping them prosper. And her teachings are based on 15 years as a successful businesswoman, utilizing her heightened intuition and uncanny ability to forecast the future. And she's not new at this. I mean, she's been rubbing elbows with some pretty neat people. She's worked with the Showtime Channel Networks, Shirley MacLaine Enterprises, Playboy Entertainment, Final Post Production, Great Expectation, that wonderful dating service, director Mark Travis, and Scott Zacharin, and who is the creator of the first interactive soap opera, The Spot. And at Showtime, she was involved in the marketing division, dealing with 130 cable affiliates nationwide, and as the national director of success stories for the video dating service Great Expectation, Monique placed clients on TV shows such as Oprah Winfrey, and in 1992, the Los Angeles Times ran a feature story on Monique and Great Expectations. And, of course, she has also been working with one of the largest green commercial sustainable builders in the world. And they build hospitals and government institutions, and their hospital project was stuck, so they brought her in. And as you know, the world is in such a state of flux and serious challenge and need for change, and she's been in a position now to work with the foreign leaders and a client who's a diplomat that is now with the World Economic Forum in Geneva, Switzerland. And she oversees the general counsel, this woman, for the weapons of mass destruction, genetics, and immigration. And Monique's ability as a business intuitive has gone to levels that she would have never imagined, both personally and professionally. And her mentor, Ward Wyman, who has since passed away, he worked as a rocket scientist and as a consultant to the White House during the Carter administration. So some powerful people. There are just no degrees of separation between Monique and these global leaders who are in major decision makers. And she has an ability that is helping and beginning to help change the world because of the type of people she gets to work with. And her clients have a large influence as decision makers. So, as you know, we got to change things with all the bailouts and the banks and the this and the that. The world of business is hurting. It's stuck in many ways and needs serious help. And this is something that Monique has provided, and we're excited that she's coming to visit. Well, where is she? She was in Colorado. Now she's in Los Angeles, California, which is a major global center, and she is authoring a book, conducting weekly workshops on intuitive goal strategies, and does meet one-on-one with CEOs, corporate executives, and individuals for career, financial, and future insights. And she recently completed a documentary across the nation, traveled over 6,000 miles with her two dogs looking for people who have gone for getting their dreams. And in spite of the obstacles, and they have accomplished it, and it is now uplifting and helping mankind. So, oh boy, Monique has just got so much to share, and we want to welcome you on board. Hello, Monique.
Hello, Ken. My gosh, you have done your homework. That was quite an introduction. I have never had one quite like that before, so thank you.
Oh,
gosh.
You're welcome. To me, it's just such a treat because we're here and we need help, and it's so wonderful that you have taken the time and just done your work and your homework and then made these connections and are helping at such a large scale, and you come and offer to us today because it's not just, and that's the beauty of you, you're not just there going, well, you got to be a global world leader, a major Fortune 500 CEO for me to offer you any assistance. You're reaching out to all kinds of us, and people sometimes want to check out a website while they're listening to the show. What would be a good one for them to take a look at?
Just you could go to www.monique, M-O-N-I-Q-U-E, Guild, like Guild, GUILD.com.
Okay, very good.
That's Monique Guild. Mm-hmm.
Monique Guild, and then you can there can be some resources they can be looking into. Now, as we're in the holiday season here, of course, many of us are starting to think about, okay, well, there's the year that's passed, and maybe what have we accomplished, what's worth moving ahead with, and then the wonderful opportunity for the New Year revolutions, or resolutions, I guess.
Resolutions. Revolution's good, too, though. My God, we need to revolutionize ourselves sometimes. You know, revolutionize our thinking, our way of being, you know, expressing ourselves and how we participate in the world. That was actually a pretty good Freudian slip there.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Well, with either way, we set out with these good intentions, and I'm wondering, why do we give up on these things?
Well, because we're chemically addicted to our emotions, what happens is every time we think a thought, a chemical gets released. And so if we're used to being in a certain thought pattern, whether it's something as simple as thinking, oh, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week and start working out. That's going to be one of my New Year's resolutions. But if our body is used to feeling the feeling of feeling bad about not going to the gym, and that neuronet is stronger than the other neuronet of actually showing up to the gym, you'll eventually fall back into the old pattern because the body will start thinking for you because it will simply need a chemical hit. So it'll need for you to take to think thoughts, which will actually create the action of you not showing up, just so it simply can get a chemical hit. So your reason to really you need to really have a good reason of why you want to do what it is you want to do and create a new life in different areas, so that you can override the old thought pattern.
Wow. So it's interesting because the term many people have used is they're stuck in a rut. And we think about, okay, my mind is stuck or stuck in this emotional pattern of having these feelings. And now you're bringing up to us that, yes, those things are going on, but what we may not have thought of is, wow, there was a chemical dependency linked to all that was created that has to be addressed.
Exactly. It's so true. And we are stuck in a rut. It's literally like a groove in a record player because the same neuronet keeps firing. And those neuronets will continue to wire together, the ones that keep getting fired over and over again. And so in order to create change in your life, you've got to fire up new neuronets and get your body used to having that chemical release in your system. So that's why they say it takes 21 days to form a new habit and 21 days to break a habit, is because it takes 21 days to rewire the brain.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is key then for people to be able to realize when they set out with those good intentions that they have got to beware that they've got to go through a certain period of time. And if they don't stick with it long enough, they'll fall back.
Yeah, and the discomfort comes from the body wanting the old chemical. So if you can just get through the discomfort of the first week or so, that's generally the time period that's pretty bad, you know, the first 3 to 4 days, just get through that, then you can stick with it. You just get through those first 3 weeks. You can it becomes easier and easier because your body's gotten used to the new chemicals that are being released.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And are there any other insights that you could share with us about blocks or things that get in our way when we're starting to go for some improvements or changes in our lives?
Yeah, I think I would know a couple things about that. Negative thinking.
You just might, huh?
I might know a couple things about a few blocks that might get people, you know, stuck. Yeah, that I might have a little insight into that. Generally, you know, it's negative thinking, resentment, grief, taking on other people's belief systems. Resentment keeps us so stuck in the past that we can't hear God's direction in the moment right now. And so we've really got to heal resentment. And negative thinking really is actually a blessing, because our negative thoughts end up showing us what it is we really want in our lives. Also blocks, other blocks could be addictions. People, maybe if they have an alcohol problem, a drug problem, gambling problem, whatever addiction might be, can also be a block. Procrastination, you know, can also. Isolation can be a block as well.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, help, because bringing up some things, as you were saying that, Monique, what flashed in my mind was a doctor buddy of mine some years ago, and he just worked out with a passion. A lot of his life was a mess, but my gosh, every day he worked out. And what I'm not sure about is there a way that we can begin to identify the difference between when we're doing something and we're doing it regularly in a healthy way, or when we're doing something and it's just an addictive pattern that we're not really in control of?
Gosh, let me see how I could answer that. Well, okay, so are you saying that his working out was not healthy? Was he addicted to that and the rest of his life is falling apart?
Yeah. I mean, if the rest of his life, you know, mostly would have been working, because, I mean, physically fit and he worked out, but it was just something he had to do. It wasn't something he did, like, joyfully. And so I'm trying to think, okay, so, you know, it's more obvious if someone's drinking all the time or you know, laying down 4-foot lines of cocaine on their dining room table and snorting that or whatever. Some of those things are more obvious, but can we be engaged in some behaviors that we wouldn't think of as addictions, but still doing it from that place of addiction rather than this place of strength and choice?
Gosh, you're asking a really good question. Well, first of all, God, there's different answers and different ways to go about what you just asked. First of all, the denial. If the rest of your life is really falling apart, and it sounds like he was using the gym, the exercise, so that he could get his, you know, hit of serotonin, so he could feel good about something.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah,
and so then that way he could override and be in denial about the rest of his life because he was feeling good after having worked out, whereas if he didn't work out, I bet you he'd been like a cuckoo bird.
Uh-huh.
So he was able to somehow stay sort of maybe he was feeling good, so I guess he figured everything else was okay. Now, maybe to him it was. Maybe to the rest of the world it would look like it was a wreck, but to him, he was feeling fine, and so he went on, at, you know, status quo. But people who, generally end up hitting the bottom some way or another, if there's something that needs to be looked at, it'll come up in your face so many times, and eventually you're going to have to look at it. You just will. You can't deny it, because the universe always has a way of balancing everything out. And, you know, I had to take a look at something myself this year. May 31st, I ended up getting bucked off my horse, and I had to really take a look at how I wasn't taking the time in several areas to make sure that I was safe and okay. And I was rushing through life, going fast. And I got really injured, really, really, really. And what's so interesting is when I was saddling my horse up, I had a picture in my mind of an aunt of mine that had been really hurt by a horse that had kicked her in the knee really hard.
Uh-huh.
And I said to myself, Monique, pay attention to what you just saw. And I chose to ignore it. And, you know, an hour later, I was in an ambulance being taken to that hospital. So it'll come up. If there's something that needs to be looked at and it's ignored, it'll eventually come up. I believe that if you have, though, a dream or a vision, a goal, and we all do, our soul has a purpose here, and our soul is going to force us to heal the blocks. It just will.
Mm.
And I believe that with everything. So eventually, if there's something you really are passionate about and want to do and really want to get going on it, and it's not happening, your soul's going to force you to heal whatever it is that's getting in the way of this dream coming true.
Ah, okay. Well, this is important. I like this. And you were mentioning this list of a number of different blocks, and we'd certainly love, if you've ever gone bowling and had what they called a beer frame, where the first, say, 3-4 frames of the game were terrible, and I remember we would just draw a line at the end of one, and the game that happened before that was just like, it doesn't count, we're starting over fresh here. And so here's this kind of coming into this new year, and wow, what should we be doing to start with a clean slate in a way?
Oh, wow, you're asking a really good question. How can a person really, truly start with a clean slate? Okay, well, I believe it's really, really important to get connected to who your future self is. Who's the future you that you want to be? And what's the future you that you want to present to in the world? And I like to look at 10 different areas. What's the future self you want to present to the world mentally, physically, spiritually, career, financially, fun, education, materially, relationship, and contribution? And it's important to sit down, look at where you are in those areas in your life right now. Look at what's working, what's not working, and look at who the ideal future you would be in that particular area. And I mean, how does that person speak, walk, talk, dress? How do they feel? How do they wake up in the morning? What do they think about? Like Oprah Winfrey thinks a certain way every single day. You know, you wake up and think a certain way every single day. And that way we continue to create our lives the same way over and over again. But if we want to really wipe the slate clean, we've got to really sit down and this is a great week coming up between Christmas and New Year's to really sit down, contemplate what your life has been about this year. And I like to look at, you know, the month. I get out my appointment book and I look at what I accomplished, what hasn't been accomplished, what worked, what didn't work, what lessons I learned, and who am I being the person that I want to be? Did I somehow trip myself up this year and not live up to my highest standard of myself in that area? And I have to say, this year has been the biggest, fattest opportunity for growth for me ever. I mean, I always like to look at things as opportunities for growth, not problems or challenges or struggles or any of that, but opportunities for growth. And there is a couple of things that snagged me this year, and I allowed my thinking to get caught up, and I could see the result of that. And so I know that in my mental area this year, I want to, in the new year, be really diligent and focused and thinking really high thoughts. And if I'm not surrounded by people that are of a high vibration or people that are talking of high vibrational things or global interesting things that are interesting to me, if they're talking negativity or blaming or criticism or just small thinking, as Shirley MacLaine said to me years ago, I don't want to be a part of it because it brings down my vibration, my frequency. So that means I have to be extra diligent about who I surround myself with and what I'm talking about on a daily basis. And so it's really, you know, taking a look at what's working, what's not working, setting up who you really want to be, and beginning to get on that, you know, 21-day plan of creating that new reality and moving into your future self.
Ah.
So,
So you're giving us, I don't know if you want to call it homework, but to me, his homework was always associated with school, and school wasn't really typically a fun thing. So the word homework never actually got me breathing heavy. what I'm thinking is what, I don't know if we can give it a name, but this week coming up, it's like extending the gift of giving yourself some time to really do some of this awesome personal time to contemplate this really great you.
Exactly. Yeah, this is the time to do it right now. And exactly. Yeah, and I call it homework with all my clients. And I'm like, okay, here's your homework. So, yeah, it is that. And it is about the self-care. And it's like, do you really want to become the person you say you want to be? How seriously are you taking yourself? And how much longer are you going to wait? You know, time is waiting for none of us. And it's now. It really is. And I could feel the energy just speeding up so much more now. And the thoughts that we're putting out into the universe is so important. And it gets reflected back to us so much faster now, too.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's interesting as you're talking, and I'm thinking about this idea of, okay, we have an opportunity to give ourselves a tremendous gift, and then for whatever reason, I'm flashing on this image of if we were ill and had lost a bunch of blood, would we want a transfusion? And if we had stored away some of our own, would we want to give ourselves a transfusion to save our lives? And it's like, well, of course we would. And then the word transfusion kind of morphed into transformation. So it's kind of like a lifestyle transfusion for transformation.
That's a nice way to put it.
Well, thank you. so that's
very well said.
That's what you inspired me to do here. So that's just exciting that we can be, you know, have this time coming up. And you mentioned in that list of things, of some of our different blocks or things that get in the way, two of the big ones that have been prevalent in my life at different times. One is grief and the other resentment. And I think that's something that so many of us could use some help with. Can you offer a little bit?
Yeah, as far as grief goes, you know, I teach an 8-week workshop, and on week seven's unforgiveness. I talk a lot about grief, and the thing with grief, oh boy, that's a big one. It's so important that it is felt, and really, and that it's really felt. I believe that people go postal, if you will, because of unresolved resentments and unresolved grief. You know, people just lose their minds, and energy and feelings come out all wrong, like a tube of toothpaste that has holes in it, and you squeeze it, and all the toothpaste goes out in all the different directions. It's emotions, you know, that if those emotions don't get felt, they come out in ways that are so cockeyed that it's really, really, really important to process grief and to really feel the grief, because that loss is such an individual experience. No one can be in the pain that you feel of the loss of something or someone, and somehow to be in a support group or people who have been through what you've been through. I remember years ago I had to go to the Grief Recovery Institute in Los Angeles, because I was in the middle of a divorce. My best friend since I was 14 years old had just committed suicide, and my cat was dying, and it was just overwhelming. It was overwhelming, and so I needed to go and get help. Yeah, it was a lot at once, and I started in 1999, and so I just can't recommend anything more highly than really getting support with grief and loss. That's just very important. And then the thing about resentment, when we have resentment, we always have a part in it. And if you can see, even though if you think that person has done you wrong 100%, you know, like it's all their fault, we always have somehow contributed to it. And if we can somehow begin to see, how did I contribute to this situation? What could I have done better? How could I handle it differently? And at least find that part in it where you have some control in your own life. I remember years and years ago, I was working for a friend, and I was running his company, his business, and he was like a brother to me. We were very, very, very close. And he kept bugging me, just driving me crazy about me introducing him to one of my friends. You know, when are you going to introduce me to one? You know, one of your girlfriends? Set me up. And I'm like, oh my God, you're driving me nuts about this. And so eventually, you know, I set him up with this girl. And long story short, they end up dating. She was jealous of our relationship, our friendship. He cut me off as a friend, and then the worst part about it was is he took the business away from me and gave it to her. And I thought I was going to have, a meltdown, because number one, he was my dearest, one of my best friends, and number two, my livelihood was gone literally in a blink of an eye. But I was able to see, well, what did I do? How did I possibly contribute? What did I do to... And what I had to take a look at was, is I was holding on to this job out of fear of going full-time into my business. And I was scared to let it go and go full-time into doing what it is I do now. And he ended up doing me the biggest favor he could have ever done, because that is when I stepped into my business full-time. And when I was able to really see, and if I were to see either one of them today, I have known nothing on them. If anything, I would thank them both very much, and so grateful that that happened, even though it was so painful at the time. Oh, it was horrible, and it was frightening, too. And so if we could just kind of sort of see, well, how am I living in a way that maybe isn't my highest self? And I was definitely living in fear and holding on to smallness when there was something so much greater. And being willing to let go and surrender and see what that something greater was. So he did for me what I couldn't do for myself. He really did.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's, wow. So it's sort of like, talk about the silver lining, or that there is the turning lemons into lemonade, that you were able to go through this experience. And, of course, at the time it wasn't any fun. But the net result of it was that you used it to your advantage.
Yeah.
And
And
I wonder, when we go through something, I don't know if there was some point or in your work as intuitives, if there's any kinds of questions, because sometimes a question that people ask in terms of trauma is the old question, why me? Which usually doesn't get you anywhere, because then it gives you 1,000 reasons why you deserved it. So that's not a good question. Is there any way that you can help us to guide our thinking in a more productive way?
Wow. God, when we go through a lot of trauma, and when it's a lot and you're getting hit left and right, and it's like, oh my God, what the heck is going on? And why is all this stuff happening to me? I mean, Lord knows I've asked that question. And how to think of it more productively. One of my main mantras is, what is my opportunity for growth here? What am I supposed to learn?
Woo.
Yeah.
Say that again. That was great.
Thank you. Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. It's what is my opportunity for growth here?
Okay.
What is it that I'm supposed to learn that maybe I didn't learn in the past and it's coming up again for me to learn? Or, you know, what is it that, you know, like I said about my horse and being bucked off, and I was always rushing and not taking the time to make sure I'm safe, I'm taken care of. And that doesn't only show up in that area, it shows up in other areas. And so it really made me stop and say, I've got to take a look. And I was like, well, Nelly, her name is Nayeli, my little chimichanga. And, she really taught me a big lesson, but I really had to take a look and say, where am I being careless with myself? What is my opportunity for growth with this situation? Because we draw everything into our lives. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and the awful, and all of it. We are vibrationally frequency specific to it somehow.
Yeah.
And we create these experiences in our lives. And so it's important to say, whoa, you know, I created something here that I don't want to create again. So what do I need to learn? How do I need to change the energy within myself and heal from this so that I don't create another situation like this again?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's important. What is my opportunity for growth here?
Yeah, and I like the way you made mention. You've given us 10 different categories that we can look at goals, and I don't know if those are available or if they're like on. You have a CD about New Year's resolutions. Is there a reference where we can get that? Because I'm suggesting that you'd want us to not only put forward this best us in all those different areas, but to have that as a frame of reference, like you're talking about. Okay, you had an accident falling off your horse, or this girlfriend decides to ace you out of the work that you have, and you pull back from that and discover, wait, the expansion of my career. Or with the horse, you go, oh, am I really taking care of myself and being safe, not just when I'm riding a horse, but in general in my life?
Right.
So that's important.
Oh, my God. It's so important. Seriously, because I believe that things only get bigger and bigger. The experience only gets bigger and bigger until we finally. Can you relate to that?
I like to call that the persistent delivery service. Where the message comes, and first there's the polite knock on the door, ring of the bell, and what, no answer. Then they come back, and then there's a little pounding on the door, and then no. Then there's the kicking on the door, and the yelling and screaming, and then the battering ram breaking the door down, and it's sort of like, are you willing to get the message before we have to set you on fire?
Yeah, and unfortunately, sometimes it takes me a couple hard knocks before I go, oh, I think I need to pay attention to that, you know, I need to do something.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, when you're sitting in an ambulance and sitting, laying down with your legs up in the air because your back is all cuckoo, you know, you begin to wonder, oh, my God, how did I get here? What did I do? You know, so, yeah, I think I want to get that one right now. I don't want to go through that again. If to get it, you know, there's a lot of people that seem to learn things. They just need it that one experience, that one time. You know, they learn it real quick. They're like, okay, I don't want to go down that again. But sometimes I got to experience something a couple times before I go, better not do that.
This is Monique. This is exciting because what you're prompting me to do, and I want to check with you because I've got this idea, and you're this intuitive business consultant, so I don't want to run off and do it without checking in with you. I'm just thinking, based on what you're saying, could we have used to our advantage taking a look at our year and finding some areas where stuff went wrong, not dwelling upon it, but looking at it like you're advising us and saying, well, what was the opportunity for growth here? Have I learned from this? Have I applied this? Or is this still pending and lurking, waiting to raise its ugly head worse the next time?
That would be brilliant. Yes, to do that would be absolutely. You put it in a way that's so clear and so, yes, I highly recommend it.
Okay.
I really do. Yeah. It just what you said was just perfect, and that's exactly what to do, is just take a look at things that did not go well. I always say our don't wants end up showing us what it is we really want in our life.
Okay.
And so the don't wants are so important, just for everything you just said, the reasons you just said. Yeah, I think it's really important to take a really thorough inventory and and to write out the don't wants, but also take a look at all the good that you did accomplish, things that did happen, things are still in process of happening, all that. But if you really want to transform and create a different reality and bump your business up to the next level, I think it's really important to take a look at what didn't work. What didn't work and what might you not be paying attention to that's been brought to your attention several times, but you're ignoring it for whatever reason, but now the problem's getting bigger and bigger. So, yeah, it's really, really important, to say the least.
Okay,
really,
great.
To say the least. Yeah.
So that would be something to tie in with this part of taking time to look at our greater self for this new year in all those different areas and I like the way you talk about not just give it a thought, but I mean, can you give an example of the thoroughness you want us to go into when we're projecting our better self in one of the areas of our life?
Okay, let's see here. If I take the example of, I always teach through just my own experience, really. And so if I take the example of, like, being bucked off and this whole, the injuries and things like that, and then I really look at, okay, Monique, you've been really careless with yourself. Okay, well, that's a don't want. I don't want to be careless anymore. So then what is it that I do want to do? Well, I want to make sure that I'm having amazing self-care in all those 10 areas. I want to make sure mentally I'm choosing thoughts that are supportive of me and seeing myself in the highest life and light. Physically, I want to make sure that I'm eating well and doing things physically that are of my highest and best self, whatever that might be for me, because what's going to be for me won't be for somebody else. I mean, whatever that, we each know what our ideal self is in these areas that we would like to be. And really going through and saying, okay, how can I step up to self-care in these areas financially? What can I do? What would be the greatest ideal of me? You know, making sure that I like to have all my numbers and Quicken and QuickBooks and all that sort of stuff, and really knowing where the cash flow is going and coming in and that sort of thing, and investments and just really being very conscious financially as well as in other areas. Because if I go unconscious and not taking self-care of myself with the horse, well, Lord knows I'm going unconscious in other areas too, for sure. Mm. It's just not in one area. It was a wake-up call for all areas of my life, for sure. Absolutely, okay. Hands down. And I've had to put things into place that keep me accountable, that really keep me accountable and present in the moment and paying attention and not being careless.
Yeah.
I get careless with myself when I'm so out of the present moment, or I go into denial, or I'm rushed, or I don't listen to or follow my own flashes. I mean, I had a really clear flash that day, and I openly ignored it. And for me to do that, I've done that three times, when it was major stuff, and have really gotten really hurt. So our inner guidance system's always guiding us, you know, and we just have to really just stop and pay attention. So I hope that answers your question you're just asking.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I'm also wondering, coming into this new year, there's some opportunities. I don't know if you have any resources. Typically, it's suggested getting some assistance with goal setting, a partner or a goal setting group or a mastermind group, and so I wanted to check on resources and then ask you if someone didn't feel comfortable, if there wasn't someone in their life that they felt like they could really bear their soul and share this with, is this still something we can carry on our own?
Well, to answer the first question, I teach the Intuitive Goal, G-O-A-L, workshop, and I teach it both by teleconference. I teach it to companies, and I teach it in person and that sort of thing. So I'll be starting an intuitive goal workshop here soon. When people go to my website, they can see. And it's always great to have the support of the group. And I teach people how to set intuitive goals, their soul's purpose goals. How do they know when they're on their intuitive goal soul track? How do they know when they're off of it? And I teach people how to identify and trust their own intuition as well as heal the blocks that prevent them from hearing their intuition, like grief, resentment, negative thinking. And it's also what my book is based on all the intuitive goal workshops that I've taught. And people are going to be able to teach this workshop on their own, kind of like the Artist Way book, if you're familiar with the Artist Way. You know, they set up all these workshops, and people started teaching workshops amongst themselves. My book is going to be written in a way that people will be able to teach this workshop as well. So definitely joining one of my workshops. And now I think we always need to have an outer person somehow, someone, somewhere, something that we trust, that we can talk to, that can kind of see us from a different perspective. I always like to think to myself that I can, I'll fix it, you know, I'll take care of it. I'll do it myself. I don't want to bother anybody with this. I don't want anybody to know, that kind of thing. But, you know, the moment I start thinking like that is I'm not going to get the benefit. But it's important for me to go to somebody who has experience in that area and they have succeeded in overcoming whatever it is. And they've gone on to greater things with it. And so I was talking to one of my mentors the other night, and he's a neuroscientist, and he said to me, and it was just so great, he says, Monique, are you going to continue to be at the effect of your reality, or are you going to infect your reality, observe your reality, and what do you want it to be? Or you're just going to allow this, you know, getting bucked off horses, you know, all this kooky stuff to go on. And, you know.
Little did you know that getting bucked off the horse was actually, you were supposed to be learning to fly rather than hit the ground.
Right. I was supposed to learn to do acrobatics off the back of her or something. Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. I didn't take up trampoline lessons or something. But, Yeah, so it's just important, you know, I think to have people that we really respect in our lives, or if there's someone in your life that is accomplishing something that you really admire, and asking them if there's somehow, that some way that they could help you achieve that, whatever that is. I just think it's really important to have a greater mind guiding you.
Right, and want to remind people again that your website so that they can know how to find this and check out these different things that you're offering.
Sure. www.monique, MoniqueGuild.com. MoniqueGuild.com. And also, too, if you Google my name, there's a lot more information there on the internet. Different things, and if anybody's in Los Angeles, February Valentine's Day weekend, I'll be teaching this intuitive goal workshop as a 90-minute workshop on that Sunday of Valentine's weekend at the Conscious Life Expo, which will be at the LAX Hilton, and I'll be teaching it that Sunday morning. I believe they've got me scheduled for about 10 o'clock, so from probably 10 to 11:30 or something like that. And so I'd love to have everybody come and join me and make sure the New Year's resolutions that have fallen by the wayside in February, would get those turned around and get people on track with what they really want to create and things like that.
Right. And then I'm seeing on your website that the workshop that begins Sunday, February 21st, is that the teleconference workshop?
The teleconference workshop, I have not set a date on that yet. Okay. I need to set dates for my workshop, and thank you for reminding me, because what's on there right now on the website needs to be changed and updated for the new workshop to begin. So I would say that the intuitive goal workshop is going to start the second week in January. So that would be about like the 13th or 14th on a Sunday. that I'll be beginning that. So,
and does that usually run a few weeks or?
8 week workshop.
8 weeks, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's 8 weeks, 2 hours each week, and there's no more than 12 people in each workshop. And it's God, there's been so much success through that workshop, and people have accomplished amazing, amazing, amazing things in that particular workshop. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Okay, great. Wow,
mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Your enthusiasm is amazing. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You have a lot of that yourself, and it's appreciated for sure. Now, I'm wondering, can you give us, because your work is about intuition, and I'm sure there's more than a few of us going, well, you may be very intuitive, but I can't do that. And can you help talk about how intuition plays into this and how we can begin to be guided by you to connect to that part of ourselves?
Yeah, so for me, you know, I'm a business intuitive, which means I'm a business consultant, but I have this heightened intuition. I have like a film, FILM, that runs in my mind, and I follow these pictures, and I also get blocks of information. And I just know things about people's past or their future, that kind of thing. But also our intuition, we can speak to us through a gut feeling, just that gut feeling, that gnawing feeling that you need to check something out or go somewhere or do something. Or a lot of people get guided through dreams or through signs in the universe. I always say, if somebody reminds you of someone else when you first meet them, pay attention to that, because oftentimes there's going to be certain characteristics that individual has that the person you know has as well. So pay attention to things, little signs like that, or somebody's voice reminds you of somebody else's voice. It tells you a lot. You can learn a lot about a person if you're being reminded of someone else when you meet or hear that person. A lot of people get guidance through journaling. I journal every morning. It's rare that I miss journaling, but it's how I really connect in with my intuitive voice. And I'll ask myself questions, and I'll answer those questions until I feel like a click, a switch clicks inside of me, and it feels right, the answer that I've gotten.
Oh.
I'm journaling and meditation are two huge, huge tools for me, for sure. And then, of course, these flashes and pictures that I get when I'm working with people. That's just something that's there. My father has that, and my grandmother did too.
Oh, wow.
It's something that runs in my family for sure, for sure, for sure. And it got highly developed because of the situation I grew up in as a kid. But everybody has different ways their intuition is guiding them, but absolutely, our instincts are somehow guiding us some way, and the only block to it is this chatter, negative chatter, or being stuck in the past, not stilling the mind and really going within and hearing how you're being guided. But, you know, it's just like somebody who's walking towards you and you get a funny feeling about them and you feel like you need to cross the street, and so you do. That is always guiding you in different ways, and to learn how to hear how you're getting that guidance is key.
Wow. So, folks, I'm just so excited. Monique, I feel like we've just opened the door, and it's near the end of our hour, and it's just like, oh, my gosh, this is so wonderful. So please, folks, go visit Monique Guild, MoniqueGuild.com. Give yourself a treat of coming into this new year in the best way ever. And Monique, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and on Christmas Eve to come and bless our lives with your holy presence.
Oh, Ken, I'm so honored that you asked me to be on your show, and thank you so much, and thank you for all the amazing work that you're doing and just helping to heal and help the planet and just everything you're doing. So thank you very, very much for all that you do.
Oh, you're welcome. And Monique, my beloved listeners, happy holidays. Until we meet again, God bless, and goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now. Happy holiday. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.